Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Denise, those winds, it's just indicative of another spring in El Paso, right?
That's right. People are excited to be outside and then they realize that the winds start kicking up in the springtime. But there's always a lot of chance to be able to get some gardening done and kind of avoid the winds. So it's usually like it gets really windy in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So really plan your garden activities in the early morning while it's still cool and calm. It's also a great time to be able to water your plants as well. Because sometimes, you know, if that wind kicks up even as high as like 5 miles an hour, you're going to start getting some kind of overspray on other areas. And that also goes when you're going to spray any kind of herbicides.
Yeah.
A lot of times you get a lot of summer annual weeds coming up in your landscape. You want to make sure that you do not spray that at all when it's windy because you will get some drift and perhaps damage some existing plants that you want to keep.
And those winds that we saw earlier this week, I mean, they were bringing wind gusts of 50 miles per hour and above. And I'm sure there were quite a few people who experienced some branches breaking off of their trees, which is always really kind of tragic after a big windstorm. You see, if trees aren't completely uprooted, then you'll just see some major limb damage on those trees.
Right, exactly. And a lot of times if the branches start breaking on the tree, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll actually tear or peel off a portion of the bark. And that wound of that plant takes a very long time to heal over. So it's kind of a lesson in how to prune correctly as well. If you have a lot of smaller branches that have really narrow angles that are really close together, those are going to be much more weak and more susceptible to breakage. So you want to make sure that you kind of have this nice, sturdy, wide angles of your branches to perhaps avoid that in the future.
You don't want it like a tight V type of angle.
Right, exactly. You're looking more at the U, so a larger branch angle on that. But feel free to take them off and remove them off the tree itself. You don't want to have any further damage or any kind of further peeling off into the bark. So take them off and dispose of that branch.
So what about that exposed bark? You said that it's probably peeled off and we've all seen that type of damage. Should anything be done?
The best thing for us is just to leave that bark exposed. We do not need to cover it with any kind of paint or material. We don't have oak wilt, which is the only reason why you would paint over or heal a wound on there. But we don't have that disease in West Texas, so we're okay. Let it heal. And you don't want to seal in any kind of other insects or any other diseases in there. So just let it dry out.
Yeah, and I guess you want to also keep an eye on it, too, because, I mean, we've heard before on this show that whenever you have some sort of an open wound like that, it leaves the tree susceptible to diseases and to pests.
Right, exactly. So remove the broken branch and let it heal on its own.
And cross your fingers.
That's right.
Now, our plants also get pretty wind beaten in our spring windstorms, too.
Right, exactly. And that goes for the truth when you have a new plant, and if you perhaps have been into the nurseries, gone to some plant sales and kind of bought some nice plants, and you know, your first inclination is to get them into the ground as soon as possible. Well, sometimes that's not really realistic to a lot of us. I know in my case, a lot of times I bought some plants, but I can't get to plant them directly in the ground that same weekend. I have to wait several days after that.
You got to keep an eye on the forecast.
Exactly, exactly. And also sometimes time doesn't permit and you're looking to see when the best day to plant is going to be. The best situation that you can do is put it into a covered patio and make sure that they're well watered. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that these nursery cans and containers that they come in, they need to be watered very frequent.
Yeah, they drain pretty quickly.
Yeah, and that's because they put them into this potting media for transporting them to keep them light because they don't want to weigh down the truck. So they put the lightest media that they can possibly find. But then that means that water just goes rushes right through it. So keep them well watered. A lot of times the plants are grown in very lush nurseries, you know, with minimal stress
on there. Greenhouses, right?
Yes, exactly. So essentially what you're doing is a term called hardening off, which means you're kind of exposing them to a little temperature extremes and some wind. And then that way it starts that acclimation process so that transplanting into the ground is not going to be that big of a shock for them.
And a lot of times when plants are wind blown, they tend to sort of have the same symptoms as if they were water deprived, right?
Right, exactly. So what the leaf is trying to do is trying to prevent any further moisture loss. So sometimes what the leaves do is they start curling downward. And that's to protect the stomates that are in the bottom of the leaf surface to be able to prevent any kind of water loss. Well, the same thing happens when you have a really strong wind going on. There's a very, very thin layer of air that's right below the leaf surface. And if that gets disrupted also, it kind of mimics the symptoms of being drought stressed. Also, keep an eye on that and check the soil moisture as always. And that kind of, you know, makes people kind of, hopefully they think about transporting their plants too. Sometimes you see them in the back of pickup trucks.
Oh yeah, just getting whipped around.
Exactly. So it's the same effect going on. You may be a calm, beautiful day, but if you're driving 55 miles an hour down the street, you're going to, you know, you're causing this entire wind to have that stress on those leaves. So in most places, they will recover. If the leaf tears, of course, you know, that's, you're not going to repair that, but kind of try to keep that wind damage to a minimum when transporting.
Well, you know, maybe people bought some trees over the past weekend at the native plant sale. And we do want to point out that sometimes a little wind can be a good thing in helping strengthen a tree before. I know we've had Oscar Mestis, the urban forester, here on our show. And he's said that, you know, if you see this poor little tree just sort of getting whipped around by the wind, you're actually helping strengthen that tree. The wind is helping to increase that bark's flexibility and get it sort of used to its new home.
Yeah, exactly, because trees don't stay still. I mean, that's just point of that. So a lot of times people will stake trees and then put some guying wire to kind of anchor it in place. And if your tree needs that, it would probably just need it for that first year when it's very susceptible, when it doesn't have a lot of girth onto the main trunk. But after that, that needs to be let loose and allow that natural swaying of the tree to occur.
Because I've seen at nurseries some trees that have been, I guess, pruned from the time they were a seedling, and they just look like long, 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 long pencils. They've probably been pruned up all the way to the top, so they've got like a little lollipop top, and those trees are just not going to do well in our environment.
Exactly, exactly. The natural shape is the best for that. And essentially what you're doing when you're growing in nurseries, you want the height, right? Because that's how trees are normally sold, by their height. So they are kind of encouraged to branch up instead of out. So really for those first few seasons in the garden, you know, let your tree take natural shape. Don't prune a lot. You know, if you remove any of those leaves on there, you're essentially removing that food factory that those leaves are doing, you know, making that food to be able to get a strong root system and some nice branching established.
Well, with May upon us, pretty much, we're seeing our grass already starting to green up. So is this a good time to maybe start fertilizing our grasses?
Yes, you want to make sure to give your lawns a good head start, water, and apply a nice fertilizer. You can either do a slow release of fertilizer, or you can do more of a rapid fertilizer onto your lawns. And it just depends on how fast you want to green those up. But you want to make sure that, you know, give them that food and establish as grass is growing in the lawns, and really try to stay clear of any kind of weed and feed combination products as well, because a lot of times those get picked up by adjacent plants living in the same garden. You know, a lot of the times, you know, we talked about trees a few minutes ago. A lot of times those tree roots are just extended two, if not three times as much as what we see on the above canopy. That's what's going on below the soil surface. So there's a lot of roots that are out there, and you want to make sure to just go ahead and stay clear of any kind of combo products. You know, you're going to weed it.
Or you're going to feed it.
Or you're going to feed it. Don't do both.
Well, I guess we're also seeing a lot of people, you know, in the back of their pickup trucks, they got pallets and pallets of turf.
Yes. Most common thing, yes, people will get a pallet of sod and take it home and then let it sit there and then decide, I'm going to put an irrigation system, or I'm going to put my sod in 3 days from now. Essentially what's happening is all of those roots are being exposed to the air. They're drying up. If you need to hold over any kind of sod, you need to make sure that it's moist. You're wetting that down. You're not allowing any of that moisture to escape from that. And please make sure that you do all of your prep work
before
you purchase. Like that should be the last thing that you ever think about getting is going to be having that sod either picked up or delivered to your home.
Because you may think, oh, I'll just water it with a hose, but oh, you're going to be in for it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Because it is very heavy and you need to make sure that you know, have that patchwork of sod. It's going to be almost like laying bricks. You're going to have to stagger them because you want to make sure that those seams are nice and tight. Mm-hmm. It's for that grass to be able to kind of attach itself to its native soil and kind of start anchoring itself into its new home.
And also, once you've put that turf in the ground, make sure you contact El Paso Water Utilities because they'll be able to grant you a reprieve, I suppose, from the water restrictions if you put in a new lawn. I'm not sure for how long, but they will allow you some extra watering time to help establish your turf.
Right, exactly, because it's a really critical stage on that. But if you transplant dead sod to begin with, it's never going to pop back up. So
as strong as Bermuda is,
right?
that might not come back
exactly.
for you. Well, you know, we've seen also a lot of those one-time rose bloomers who we've seen, the Lady Banks roses in particular.
Right.
If you have climbing roses like the Lady Banks, it only bloomed that one time a year and their bloom period's already gone. This is a great time to prune those already, right?
Perfect. Go ahead and take off any of those once spring flowering roses if you do. Take them off, prune them back. Same goes for also flowering trees as well. So like our red buds that we have that are usually our first little indicators of spring, where those Mexican red buds will start pinking up, their branches will come up right before the leaves start setting. So you want to make sure that you prune those back after they bloom, or else you won't have any blooms.
That's right. And bulbs also, we saw a lot of, if you have spring flowering bulbs, chances are those have already flowered for you and they're starting to look a little wilty now, but you don't want to pull those out of the ground just yet, right?
Right, exactly. And just like when we're talking about the different kinds of plants and the food factory, essentially what's going on is those spent tulip leaves or whatever that you had, daffodils, as far as bulbs, are actually regenerating that bulb for next year. So those leaves are still photosynthesizing and putting that energy back into the bulbs. So really don't trim back or cut back those bulbs until they start naturally yellowing and drying off.
And so at that point, you can maybe just prune those tops off, leave them in the ground, or pull them out for later, huh?
Exactly. Pull them out for later, store them, or leave them in your garden, but make sure you mark it where they're planted.
That's right. What is that coming out of the ground? And also, if you have fruit trees, and I know quite a few people do have fruit trees, you're probably seeing perhaps tiny little baby fruits on them?
Yes, exactly. So after they'll bloom, they'll set their fruit, but then sometimes they'll be in large clusters. And essentially what you want to do is you want to thin out that fruit that's on the branch itself, because you want to think of a mature size of a nectarine or apricot or a peach. You want to make sure that you have that, you give enough space for that plant, that fruit to be able to grow and for a lot of that energy to get you good quality fruit. So thin those out.
For bigger fruit, for not bigger for lots fruit. Of tiny little fruit.
Yes,
fruits.
Exactly. Because you're gonna be competing with the birds here pretty soon. So you want to make sure that you thin out some of those smaller fruits and leave larger ones about 5 to 6 inches apart on your peach trees. That'll ensure a better, bigger quality, better crop for you at the end of the season.
Well, if you want more May gardening tips, go to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org because we're already out of time. And if you have any questions about gardening for the Master Gardeners, because this is like the peak time, I'm thinking, where
right.
people are in their gardens, make sure you give the Master Gardeners a call at 771-2354, 771-2354. You can also link to them on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. We want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember that a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.